Bob.
He's absolutely. The best. Legend, right? Noodles, you're a big fan, and here he is, longtime NHL goalie, MSG hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Steven Valiquette. How you doing, Steve?
Brian, very good, man. Happy to be on with the boys. Let's get started. What do you guys want to get into? Let's cook.
Yes, let's get going. Well, I mean, you're all over the NHL scene, all over the Rangers scene. You're probably the perfect guy to talk to about this because you've got Lafreniere in town. Doesn't seem like everyone's loving that pick, you know, a few years out, but he's still a young guy, you know, and we were just talking about Bedard coming up, what McDavid represents, Crosby represents. Like, what do you make of the first few years here with Lafreniere and where it could be going with his future in New York?
Well, it's been tough. I'm not, you know, it's tough to mince words on this one. I've been warned a couple of times, and I have to tell you guys, I got to be careful. So next question.
Okay, that's understandable. So you're not going to pull a Cowboys Twitter account with Dak?
You know
that's
what
you're telling us?
No, Brian, seriously, like Noodles, O-Dog, you guys, back in our day, everyone started in the minors, and when you weren't ready, you just started there. But I feel like a big reason why a lot of young guys are getting rushed in, and you guys know this, it's the salary cap. They've got to have ELCs up, and it's too soon. And the one thing I've always said is, I was in the minors a long time, boys. I was in the minors 8 years, okay? You know what I never saw in the minors? Anybody overcook. And that's what I think the game's missing, and by and large now, because when I was in the minors the first year, I remember being thrilled to go from the front of the bus to the back and just be invited for a couple of hands of cards while I brought beer back. And by the time I got sent down as, I believe I was 32, everybody in the back of the bus was like 19 and 20. So I sat in the front again. So I didn't know what's happened at the minor league level, but we do know what's happening. I think it's really the salary cap. It's just the way things are in business, but not always best for everybody's career being forced.
I don't think it helps, Val, when the kid behind him, didn't Stützle go right behind him?
Yeah.
And
he's,
you see,
eight times eight right now?
While Stützle's dialed in, and I thought the contract was like a little bit aggressive, where I'm like, I'd like to see some more. But I'll tell you what, that kid, he's putting on a show a lot of the nights he's playing. I'm not saying he's warranted that contract. Maybe you and your cronies that crunch all the numbers, Val, could tell us if it's actually worth it. But that's got to be a factor in the Lafreniere thing.
Well, the biggest deal is the opportunity. I mean, Lafreniere is playing behind Panarin and Kreider. And Kreider goes out and has 52 goals last year and 26 in the power play. Like, there's just no spot for him. And it hasn't been a fit for him to move from the left side to the right side. And because that hasn't been able to work, they've really shuffled their lines right now. And the lineup you're going to see tonight is you'll see the kid line. Filippito's playing really well with Kako and Lafreniere. And the third line, Barkley, Goudreau, Vizi, and Trocheck is now the centerman for that line. That's more of a north-south checking line. They've been playing better. Trocheck's actually been better separated from Panarin, if you can believe that. So they've loaded up the top line. This game's going to be great. You know, I was looking at month to month now, from now until the end of the year, there's only going to be five games a month where the Leafs are really challenged, where the Rangers are really challenged, and it's a big night. So that's why the expectations are high for this one.
Valley, we're an analytics-driven show, as you can tell, and but I do rave about your analytics company, ClearSight, and looking at the Rangers' numbers, they're second in chances for. So what could you tell Leaf fans what the Rangers are all about, even offensively?
Yeah, even just the numbers above the board, they've only lost one more game in regulation at this point right now, as they did last year after 47 games. So they're not far off. The only difference with the team is they haven't met expectations. And, you know, once again, you go back to your playing experience. Remember what it was like having a really good run and then thinking it was going to come easy the next year? The Rangers have lost eight games against non-playoff teams. And if they hadn't lost those eight games, they'd be running away with the Metro. They'd be right at the top. But they've given some back against some bad teams. And what they are really is a team that was in an absolute shooting percentage bender since December 5th. And before that, they were the worst team in the league in shooting percentage. They just haven't been able to finish. And for whatever reason, Trocheck is performing at about nine goals less than what he should be at. And he's one of the guys, but there's pretty much everybody really underperforming as far as finishing goes. And it's been tough to put their finger on. Sometimes it's elevating rebounds. And like going into Monday's game against Florida, they had only scored 7 rebound goals. 7 goals on rebounds. The Florida Panthers had 32. You know, so those are the numbers that I look at, O-Dog. I'm looking at them like, hockey-wise. And to me, you know, it's really a matter of, I think, player development in certain areas where they haven't been able to finish.
We're chatting with Steve Valiquette, MSG hockey analyst. It's Leafs Rangers tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Austin Matthews is not putting up the same numbers he did a year ago, but he's still on track to have a great season. He's going to have a great season. And he's mic'd up for the game tonight as well, I believe, on TNT. We talk about him every single day up here, every possible angle. But as an outsider looking in, and you're obviously very familiar with this market growing up around here, what's your read on Matthews and how he's handled, you know, being the king of Toronto?
Not an easy task, is it?
No.
I've admired him from afar from the first game that he played. We scored 4 times. It's a marvel that anybody can really get it done in Toronto, really. And I know O-Dog can speak to this better than anybody. There's such a pressure there, and I think it's always about expectations. I was watching Breakpoint. I don't know if you guys have caught that yet. It's that Netflix series that's a lot like the Formula One Drive to Survive. And Andy Roddick gets on there in the first episode. He's like, the hardest thing in sports is meeting expectations. You know, here's a guy that's won 32 times. He's won a Grand Slam. The first thing he talks about is the pressure of expectations. So when Matthews dips a little bit this year and he hears it from everybody and you try and stay away from it, I remember playing poorly and not reading the newspaper, but as soon as I get in the elevator, I've got my, you know, guys that are living in the apartment. Did you see what they said about your newspaper? Like, no, I'm trying to stay away from it, man. Leave me alone. You know, like everybody brings it up. Everybody brings it up. So you can't get away from it. It consumes you. And, you know, I know he's been hampered a little bit and not shooting at the same rate that he has in the past, but I don't know, boys. I just think it's crippling. I've always said, I started working with a sports psychologist when I was 27. It helped me a lot. One of the things that she used to always bring up was that the body will resolve what the mind cannot. And if you're knotted up in your head, it always finds a way on the ice, just like bad management, just ask Vancouver.
Wow, that's a great statement, Val.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about Matthews and just in sports in general, like the guys that can get it done. We were talking about Tom Brady. And in that market you're in, there's guys that get it done, whether it be Kreider or Hank Lundqvist in the stands. But it's like when you see a guy like Mess that ultimately got it done, I mean, that's a different level, isn't it? Like we talk about Austin Matthews and all the good players that score goals and do this and that. But when you win a championship, it's just like a different level of being the man around there, isn't it?
Well, right, so this is where I have problem, and you guys got to know this. I follow the Leafs very closely. I'm always in tune with what's going on there. I don't know how you lose against Montreal the other night. Like, what is that? After they beat you when you're up 3-1 in the series in the playoffs, is there any animosity there? That's the stuff that drives me wild about the Leafs. I don't know where that isn't. And if there's any issue with the Leafs, it's always been about not beating the teams beneath them. But can they not handle being a contender? That's my thing. Can they not handle it? When they get to that status where they're contender or they are favorite, they seem to give it away like they can't handle the pressure. So I think that as much as we talk about Andy Roddick being a tennis player, a Formula One driver, or a golfer, it's individual. The problem with us is we have 23 guys that have to be on the same page and that can't be crippled by the pressure. And I just think that that's the hardest part, man. You can spit out the numbers all you want, but those are regular season numbers, you know, and there's a different life and animal in the playoffs. We know that. So that's why, isn't it true the Leafs are the only team in the NHL, not Seattle, of course, but the Leafs are the only team that haven't won a playoff series since the 04-05 lockout? Isn't
yeah,
that true?
I mean, I thought... Yeah. That know, is like, a fact.
Yeah, Florida, we're out of time. We're out of
Florida
time.
Florida got one last year to leave the Leafs on an island. Yeah, that's the truth. There's the info that we're looking for out of the data exactly. Mining and the different analytics
sites.
Well,
I didn't think you were going to come with a kick to the pills like that right near the end of the interview.
From the area, Bolton, Ontario, born and raised.
Yeah, you know it. You know.
Actually, Valley, I wanted to bring up before you go to the goaltender. So, what's Shesterkin all about? What are you seeing this year compared to last season? And what are you seeing out of the Leafs goaltenders that you like or have concerns about?
Yeah, okay. I'll start with Shesterkin. Very interesting because I'll go one more time on the expectation drum. Coming off the Vezina, I feel like everybody's gunning against this guy. Every goalie has had a hot start against the Rangers this year, and part of that might be that they take a lot of low danger, outside shots, that and that, but everybody's up to play Shesterkin. Last year, he gave up 8 bad goals all year, 8. This year, he's already given up 8. And it's bizarre because they're ones, guys, that are from distance where he's got clear view and he just misses it. And it's almost like he has a sudden lapse in focus. Okay, now conversely, how about this? Imagine all shots from the slot where guys walk in and he's got clear view. It could be a 2-on-1, 3-on-2, or 5-on-5, what have you. He's faced 82 of those, okay? He's allowed 1 goal, 1. So when the pressure seems to get turned on, he tightens his focus, and he's a really good 1-on-1 goalie. Another good example of that is breakaways. He's had 53 breakaways, only given up 9 goals. So he's top-notch when it's one-on-one hockey where it's just he and the puck. The only thing that just sort of sets me off is the 5 goals from the outside of the slot area where he's got clear view that he's allowed, but 8 total. And as far as Murray, I think it's pretty fascinating right now with him because he has got the 4th lowest save percentage in the league when the score is tied, right? So one more time, like, think about that. What does that do, Odell? You're on the bench, and you guys are in a tight game. You're going back and forth, and your goalie gives up one, and now you're down. It's, you know, you see that often enough, and you get frustrated, and I think that that is the difference between him and Samsonov. Samsonov has one of the best save percentages in the NHL. In fact, I'll pull it up while I'm here. I know that Samsonov is a 912. Yeah, and Murray's an 866 when the score is tied and they face a scoring chance. That is a huge disparity between the two. So part of that, I have to imagine, is mental. And once again, it's playing up to expectations. So Murray has won twice, but Samsonov right now seems to have the mental fortitude a little bit there that Murray's struggling with.
Yeah, there's a stat I can live with. There's a stat I can deal with. Tie game, this guy's better. He's putting up numbers.
Right.
That's all. That's what we want. I mean, so... And Noodles knows this because we've talked a lot. I've set out to try and make it coach friendly, player friendly, analyst friendly. Like, I want hockey analytics, and that's why I like the company and what we do.
Well, it, obviously, you're getting rave reviews from Noodles. Noodles will be sending you
You and your cronies are doing a great job.
Of course, you guys have the right people on the panel.
Yes, exactly. Send the invoice. Yeah. We'll keep plugging it if we have to. He is Steve Valiquette of MSG, former NHLer, good GTA boy as well. Great catching up with you. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll do it again soon.
Okay.
All right. See you later. They don't say goodbye on MSG. they just disappear on MSG. Steve Valiquette joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Go ahead.
I think he grew up in Bolton. Did he not? I've had that conversation. Yeah. Like, that's 7 minutes
from
me.
I used to go shoot pucks on Val when he was playing for the Richmond Hill Vaughan Kings. His coach, Paul Bukaboom, is a good friend of mine, and he used to take me to practice to rifle pucks at Steve Valiquette.
Yeah.
Now
he's got
an analytics company.
Well, listen, that stat right there, that is simplified. Game's tied.
Dude,
this
hazy.
Guy stops more than the other guy.
I'll buy that. I'm buying that. You want to sell that to me? I'm buying it.
Well, this is what's interesting about his company is you can get caught down a rabbit hole on stuff you want to apply. Not you always bug Jonas and his cronies about, you know, Corsi and all that. Yeah, the cronies. I love that comment. But it the information should tie to what you're seeing or what you feel. And then do the numbers match? Do they not? But what they do there is more goaltender specific, and there's player stats as well. But it's very interesting for me because you dig into something like that. Okay, let's see if there's something there. Like, that is a really interesting nugget.
I get it.
Absolutely.
I get it. But if you get good players and you assemble a good team, you have quality goaltending, and you have a lot of the right ingredients.
Right.
The numbers generally take care of themselves.
They do. I don't know how many analytics people I've had tell me, you know, Jamie, you played, you've been around the game a lot. Use your instincts, but I don't mind using the instincts and tying.
I don't know how many people are walking around Boston right now with the Bruins saying, "Well, I expected this," or it's just like they go out and they win the damn hockey game.
Just win every night,
and they showed it against Montreal last night. It's like Montreal's having their good stuff. They're giving themselves a chance to win. Boston just says, "No, we're going to take care of this," and they win any which way you want. It doesn't matter. Quality team, garbage team, blowout, tight game, they win. And they know how to win. Yeah. There is an analytic.
Yeah, they win. Yes. I mean, that gets back to what we're talking about with Joe Burrow in the last hour. You know, the stats, individual stats, what have you, may not be off the charts, but the Bengals are still playing. And there's a lot of other guys who aren't.
And they had a garbage start to the year. I believe at one time they were 1-3. I don't know if they got to 1-4, but they were in trouble big time.
They were.
And Joe Burrow said, "I got to find out a way to win."
And he did, right? Yeah. He said, "Relax, we'll be all good." And now they don't lose. They haven't lost in months, you know. And that's what we're looking forward to this weekend. We got to flip a coin, I think, tomorrow, I guess, to figure out who's picking what game, right? So we'll do that tomorrow, Noodles, and Luke Bryan and Al Dog will be in action as of Friday. And you see the prospects games going tonight. They should like Al's brother should be out there, right? The three of us were, you know, we didn't bring much to the table coaching wise, but Al's brother was a true inspiration. A true inspiration.
The fact that he's not out there is a crime. And by the way,
absolutely.
Luke Bryan, we got to get it. Like, this guy was taking some pics the other day on his bicycle. He's a bicycle racer or something.
Yeah, he is.
He does indoor short track, and he had the spandex going. He had the – it was outrageous. We have to get into it with him.
Yeah, he's – was it Kurt Harnett, I think? Is that the – I believe that was his name. One of the great Canadian bicyclettes.
Kurt Harnett. He's a good dude. He's got the salad. He's got the flow, the blonde hair. Good dude.
Yes. Yeah. Blonde, curly hair, best salad in the game at the Olympics. I think that's kind of what Luke is trying to do, man. He's trying to bring, and I think what he's explained is you don't see too many guys who are 6'5 trying to keep up on a bike.
Well, exactly.
It's not easy.
Didn't he drop, like, I mean, from playing, isn't he like 60 pounds lighter or different? Like, he changed his whole body around. Now, for, you know, a cyclist has to be powerful, but pretty lean.
You got to be lean, man. You can't have any beef. Like, if you're a bigger dude trying to bike around, like, you got no shot.
Kurt, I want to see somebody who just had
go ahead. You can just say it. Bring it up.
No, not you.
Not you.
Oh, dog, you'd be like John Candy on a bike, and then you'd both laugh at each other.
No, that's not where I was going.
Not at all. My John Candy comment yesterday was the visual from Stripes, him being carried home at the end of basic training. That was my visual, because we all thought you were going to carry a musket around and start training for this, whatever that was.
Airsoft, what was that? Yeah. Airsoft. I had so many people reach out to me in the last 24 hours.
Dude, Sarah Orleski, a former TSN colleague, she's heavily into it.
Really?
I didn't pick up on that she's personally invested and she enjoys doing it. But
yeah, her husband's a cop, and she's into...
Like cops and robbers and stuff. And
it's not. It's like artillery, basic training stuff, simulations.
Yeah, SWAT simulations, all of that type of stuff. I had a buddy call me today and said the visual of me saying John Candy getting carried home brought back a memory of like a distant cousin from like the 60s who got enlisted and was a dentist. Like, he was telling me the story. I was dying laughing because I'm like, that visual that conversation brought back an actual story of one of his relatives or wife's relatives that like went to the war in the 60s.
Right.
Insane.
Which would truly be arduous and obviously incredibly difficult, but, you know, playing SWAT team at an abandoned building downtown is probably a little bit of a different story.
Yeah.
Which is what you're talking about and you're planning on doing. You got to keep us updated on that. Like, that's the kind of stuff I think people want to know about.
Yeah.
If and when you end up actually doing it.
No,
don't
I know,
need
but
video.
I need like a beginner. I don't want to go to, let's say there's a meetup on a Saturday and it's like expert level. And I'm wheeling around there like Chris Farley rolling on the ground trying to, like, stay away from trouble. I don't need it. Like, I'd like to beginner and work my way up to expert level.
Right. Yeah, you need to be in an appropriate level, right? Like, it's like playing a club championship.
Dude, it's like anything else. You need training. You need training.
Yeah. You need training. Absolutely. You need to know what you're walking into. Absolutely. I could just picture some kid picking on you, though. Some little 14-year-old knowing who you are and saying, I'm going to light this dude
just
up.
Just chew you
apart. You know what? Maybe we'll talk to my brother. He's a police officer. Maybe we could get some training for the three of us, a little team building. Get Al's brother and just get into some different situations, and we'll do some team building.
Interesting. Team building airsoft. I could be into that for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's look into it. I like it.
I will dummy you. I'll just hunt for you. That's it, Hayes.
I'm a terrible shot. I'll admit, terrible shot. Terrible. I told you, I went to a gun range once in my life. I went 0 for 50. I didn't hit one thing. I didn't hit one target.
Do you think if there was a dark room from the 50-meter sprint that me and Al's brother did, you'd be able to recognize his stride sprinting across room to avoid danger?
Yes. I think so.
It's ingrained in my head. Like I know both of your strides like it was yesterday. I watched those races.
Can you imagine, like, Noodles, night vision glasses watching Al's brother's body type and just gunning it from one side of the building to the next and trying to stay behind.
Can you imagine Buffalo Bill with those goggles on seeing Al's brother in a warehouse across the room running? excuse me.
Yeah, I don't think even Buffalo Bill would be able to, you know, get through that.
He might probably pack it in.
He'd probably say, "I've had enough. This is the. I'm going to call the authorities and turn myself in. I've had enough here." All right, Jerry's percentage is coming up. We mentioned club championships. We have a new Trump story that we got to get to in the next hour.
Oh, my God. Even Miss Rory. We got to get the viz of what actually happened between Rory and Patrick Reed on the range.
Yes, we will. Because
that's insanity.
We will play it. We got updates on audio from Rory and Reed. We'll get into that still to come as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.